You're listening to Trek FM.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Rendell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
Charlene, we are talking about some cool things today, and that is something that I think gets looked over a lot. It's kind of similar to an episode that we did a long time ago where we talked about what we would like to do on the ship of Voyager. Like if we were in Starfleet and the Federation and everything like that.
That was a long time ago. I don't even remember what episode number that was. I would have to look it up. And since we are recording, I'm not going to do that. But it was somewhere in the double digits, not the triple.
Yeah, that's the thing is it was so long ago. I don't even remember what I said I would want to do.
You know, I think actually in an episode that's been subsequent to that one, we argued about what you said in that episode.
And I still don't know. It is still a mystery to me.
We should probably go back and listen to our own show. But you don't understand, audience. It's really weird to hear yourself all the time.
But what we're talking about today is we are talking about jobs that we would like to have in the 24th century. So it's not just like the pilot of the ship or a commander or a technician or anything like that. We want to talk about all the multitude of jobs that there are or that we know of or that we could conceive of in the 24th century, how that would be today. Like if you and I were in the 21st century, what jobs we would go for? We wouldn't have to worry about money. So we could pretty much go for anything that we wanted to.
Yes. Yeah. My mind has kind of been on this topic because of the whole issue of, we wouldn't need money. And a lot of times when like career counselors and whatnot are helping you find your calling, your passion, what have you, they ask you, well, what would you like to do if money wasn't an issue? That's supposed to be the thing that you're supposed to go for, right? Well, in the 24th century, you are free to basically do whatever the heck you want. It's a utopia. Everybody has all of their basic living needs met. They have food, they are sheltered, they have access to pretty much all of the life's necessities, and from there, they can invest their time and energy into whatever strikes them. So, I had the thought of if I was just about to graduate from Zefram Cochrane High School and I had all these choices, what in the world would I want to do in the 24th century? And I know the listeners are saying, but what does this have to do with Voyager? Well, we'll try and tie it back here and there as soon as we can. But this is a more broad, galaxy-based 24th century scenario.
Yeah, I thought about that just 10 seconds ago. When I started describing the situation, I was like, wow, this isn't really Voyager related, but who gives a crap? We're doing it anyway. Our show. One thing that I'd like to talk about is, since you brought it up and talked about how we wouldn't have to worry about it, we wouldn't have to worry about money, and we could pursue whatever we wanted to pursue, let's talk about that a little bit without getting too political. So in the 21st century, as we know, it's not a capitalist society. There's several non-capitalist societies in the world right now, but we're talking from an American perspective. And so some say it's very communist. I believe that it's something beyond communism. I believe that it's something that we haven't even thought of yet. I think it's a form of government and a form of society that works for the 24th century that we can't even conceive of.
Because it would not work here. That's the issue. And I know a lot of people call it socialism as well. Not like if they don't like the term communism, they're going to go for socialism. But I agree that is also not quite the right word. And it is a word that we do not have yet because it's not something that we can actually see as working in our day and age.
I had a conversation a long time ago about this, about how people were having an online discussion about how Star Trek, beyond warp drive and teleportation and replicators and everything like that, they said that Star Trek wasn't realistic with their vision of the future because of how they showed Earth and showed it as paradise and, you know, like everybody was happy and blah, 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 blah. I said that's bullcrap because the idea with Star Trek is that people have evolved. our society has evolved. Just because you cannot picture it happening today with people's mentality, current mentality, doesn't mean it can't work in the future. And
right.
Like the argument is that if you're not making money, then you're not going to work. And my counter argument is I have a cousin who is a very talented artist as well as restaurateur. Mm-hmm. He loves making food. He loves owning a restaurant and he loves managing a restaurant, but he had a failed restaurant. Like people weren't coming. It was great food. It was great atmosphere. But whether it's because of location, lack of advertising, whatever it was, mm-hmm. the millions of reasons of what it could
right.
be.
Right. A lot of factors can go into that.
He had to close his doors, like so many restaurants before him. And he did not do this for the money. He did not open up a restaurant for the money. There's plenty of easier ways to make money. I mean, there's a Citizen
Kane quote. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, anybody who's worked in any hospitality industry knows that you're just going to work your butt off.
Exactly. But the thing is, he did it because he loves to do it. And if you can make a living for himself, his wife, and his children, then that's a bonus. That's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
But if money was not an issue, that is exactly what he would be doing.
Mm-hmm. He'd still be running that little cafe regardless of its profit.
Exactly. And so when I imagine the 24th century, I imagine my cousin having a restaurant and being able to feed his family, clothe his family, and house his family at the same time.
Right, because he doesn't have to really worry about that issue. I mean, you can get food from the replicator. You can get your clothing out of the replicator. It's kind of interesting. We don't know too much about, and it wouldn't actually be the quote-unquote real estate market as we know it in the 24th century, but housing is not something that's talked about much in the 24th century.
I know. I've always wondered about that.
Is everybody provided with a place to live? That's actually a very good question that I don't know if I've ever heard anybody explore, ever. This is just occurring to me now, and it's blowing up my brain.
I've always thought about that. I've always wondered about that. I'm like, okay, well, what if somebody wants a place in the country, but there's no places available? Can they just build something? Or what if there's overpopulation in Chicago? You know, like, we can't all have penthouses. So what's right. it like, you know?
Right. And like, I'm thinking, especially with San Francisco, how Starfleet is headquartered there and you've got all the Starfleet people in San Francisco. What about everybody else who's supporting the city of San Francisco? Where are they all at?
Yeah.
How's that working? I mean, does everybody transport in and do their thing and they run their restaurants or what have you? Or, yeah, I mean, it's a different ballgame in the 24th century because you don't necessarily have to live fairly close to where you work.
Right. Yeah, that would be pretty amazing because Cisco did talk about how he went to the Academy, of course, which was in San Francisco, but he was born and raised in New Orleans. Every night for the first month or for the first couple of weeks or something like that, he would beam home for dinner.
Right. Yeah. And speaking of restaurateurs, we have Cisco's.
Star Trek. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My cousin would work at Cisco's. But yeah, like Cisco would beam home and like he talked about how his parents would never say anything. They'd just say like, hey, son, how was your day? Glad to have you home. But they knew that he would adjust to life in San Francisco. But the thing is, I think I can't remember who he was talking to, but that other person said, oh, man, you must have gone through your beaming credits in the first couple of weeks or something like that. And so from that, we know that people have credits, like they're allotted certain things.
Right, kind of like an allowance of how many times they can transport, I guess.
So I don't know if that's an Academy thing or if that's a Federation thing.
Right, you know? We don't really know. It doesn't get that specific because the economics of the 24th century, I think, are left a little intentionally vague, especially as far as Earth is concerned, because we know that other societies in the galaxy have money. I mean, of course, the Ferengi do, and you have to have some way to have commerce with those folks. So by and large, though, on Earth, I feel like we kind of have to just establish and say, there is no money technically.
Technically, yeah.
Technically.
I do have a question for you, though.
What's that?
Before we move forward to 24th century jobs,
yeah,
I'd love to talk to you about what would you do today if we didn't have to worry about money? Like, if all of a sudden the Vulcans came and we were an evolved society and we just automatically transported to a 24th century mentality in the next 6 months, what would you do?
Whoa. Okay. Could we have them come tomorrow? That would just be so great. If we could erase so many of our problems, or at least start working toward erasing them, that'd be great. Okay, 21st century me, if I could suddenly have the burden of paying bills off my shoulders, I think I would pull a page out of Office Space, and for maybe about the first 6 months, I would be Peter from Office Space. I would do nothing. I would probably go out to dinner every night, get a drink or two, go for a walk, enjoy the sunshine, hang out around the pool, read a frickin' book for a change, and just sit back and relax and enjoy living life, enjoying the small stuff again, because it's so easy to get caught up in schedules and I gotta be here and I gotta do this and there's all this list of errands of things I need to do. No, I would just breathe.
You are not proving my point about how people would work regardless.
Because after about that 6 month vacation where I'm finally caught up on sleep and my mind is clear, I would start writing hardcore. I would hopefully have that space of mind and the freedom creatively to really start crafting some writing again and indulge in that passion without guilt.
So would you do novels like Jake Sisko, or would you do news like young Jake Sisko?
I would be, no, I work in news right now. for real in the 21st century, I don't want to do that. No, it would be more the fun stuff. I would probably write either maybe short stories, novellas, or maybe even scripts, TV scripts.
Very nice. Very nice.
My 15-year-old self, I would basically just regress to that point. Because that's what I was doing when I wasn't halfway paying attention in school.
It makes me really sad that there isn't any TV and movies in the 24th century. That makes me really sad.
But you know what they have? They do have holo novels. And I don't think literature is completely gone by the wayside. I just think it's become, that's the main form of entertainment.
Well, no, I don't think literature has gone to the wayside either, because we have proof that people continue to write with Jake Sisko, and we have proof that people still enjoy books with Captain Picard.
Yes.
So yeah, no, literature definitely hasn't gone to the wayside, but it's a little unbelievable to me that TV and movies fall to the wayside, because they've been around for 100 years. Mm-hmm. And well, at least films have been around for 100 years, and TV for just a little bit less than that. And I don't believe that medium would go down without a fight, but I feel like it would just translate or transfer into something else. But maybe then again, holo novel, maybe that is the translation. Maybe that's the compromise.
I think that's the next evolution. However, we do know, a la Voyager, some people like to go into the holodeck and go into a 3D environment with a two-dimensional image, which they make 3D again. So there mm-hmm. is that.
And we do know that even in Enterprise days, there are still movies.
That's right. So by then, they hadn't gone by the wayside.
That's true. Like, and not just movies that they watched, but like new movies. Like when Captain Archer went back to Earth, he asked, he's like, hey, what movies did I miss? And she started listing some. She's like, there was another World War III epic and everything like that. And I was just like, oh, that's so cool.
And you totally know that that's exactly what everything would be like, too, because we have how many movies about World War II? They're going to be all hung up on World War III for who knows how long. So it makes perfect sense. So, all right, I gave my answer about what 21st century me would do. What would 21st century Tristan do without the burden of money?
This is an easy one. Like, for the longest time, I thought, you know, like, I would, like, just do video for the rest of my life. And that is what makes me happy. And it's what I've done literally my entire professional career. And I'm happy that that's the case. And I'm still doing it today.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a minor in theater. And so I've always loved theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been involved with it. But ever since I married a theater director, my love for theater, of course, has blossomed and grown and excelled. And I basically produce my wife's shows. She directs them. I produce them in my own way. Like she does everything. She's a definitely a one woman band, but I do a lot to help and produce. And if I did not have to worry about money, I would do nothing but produce theater.
That would be sweet. I'd come see your plays. Definitely.
I would produce theater with young kids, with adults, with senior citizens, with everybody. I would create workshops to help build life skills for young people where they can talk in front of crowds, where they can gain teamwork knowledge. I would do all of that. And like my wife and I have this dream where I would love to start a cafe with a stage, essentially, where a cafe during the day and nighttime, but when there's a show going on, it can be converted into a stage space. And I even have a name picked out. And that's what we would do. We would run this small cafe, this coffee bar, and then produce plays. But it's not very economical. Those things don't make a lot of money. And
no,
so
not really.
I will most likely never get to do that. But if I lived in the 21st century, I had a 21st century mentality, that is 100% what I would do.
That reminds me of something I forgot to put in my own vision. A lot of the writing I would do to make sure I'm halfway social as a human being, I would make sure I'd get out to my favorite coffee shop every single day. And if I'm not actually getting back behind the counter and making the coffee, because I really do appreciate that art, I was a barista for many years, I can at least be in the ambiance of the shop, the buzz a little bit, the smells. It's just, it's a great, when it's done right, it's a great scenario and it's very conducive to creativity.
Well, with transporters, you can totally come to my coffee shop.
Exactly. So, you know what? This could be a very good thing. I could be like the Sandrine of your coffee shop.
So how about we move on to actual 21st century?
Yes, let's do that.
You and I, because of a freak transporter accident, we've been thrown forward in time. We're now in the 24th century, 2475, or 2375, excuse me.
Yes.
And we're like, and Federation people are like, okay, you got to get jobs. You can't just be lazy. You can't just watch Netflix all day. You got to contribute to society.
Well, and that's just it, right? I mean, you don't really see people just hanging out and doing nothing. Everybody is productive despite having all of their very basic needs met.
That's where societal evolution comes in, where Picard talks about it in First Contact, where he says the accumulation of wealth and things and everything like that is no longer the driving force in our lives. Once you remove that from the equation, that's when it starts to become believable.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Which, again, is why I think it works, because no, you wouldn't want to just sit around and do nothing all the time. You would just, you'd find the things that you like and you would do them. You just suddenly have the time and the ability to actually carry that out.
Okay, I know that this is a fictional example, but this always stuck with me. And Downton Abbey is a great show. I love that show, and I unabashedly love that show. I dropped it after the fourth season, just because of reasons. It's not important to the story. But what happened was, is in the earlier seasons, there was a character who, there was one of the daughters who is very wealthy. She's a part of a very wealthy family. She's the daughter of an earl. And they have everything provided for them. They have huge fancy dresses. They eat like kings every single night. They have staffs that wait on them hand and foot. And she was raised this way. She has known nothing else besides this. She reads books. She eats. And then the war came. World War I came. She volunteered as a nurse. She was thrown into it. And of course, being a nurse in World War One, the Great War, was craziness. It was hectic. It was insane.
Of course.
And like she was dressing a bed and just moving around and moving pans and getting water and everything like that. And one of her sisters came up to her and said, when the war's over, you know, like, aren't you going to be excited when the war's over and so you can go back to normal life? She's like, oh no, I can never go back to that life. Not after knowing what this is like. So even though things were crazy and she was helping mend broken bones and amputated legs and everything like that, the lifestyle of doing nothing was no longer appealing to her when she had meaningful work.
Right. A sense of purpose, which is, I think, what we're all looking for, regardless of the time period. But in the 24th century, I think it's just easier to find your calling. Now, not everybody I mean, there's still problems along the way sometimes. Let's say a la Tom Paris. He's the best darn pilot you could ever have, but the whole accident that happened and then going to jail after joining the Maquis, things happened. However, that was possibly his true calling. Although, you know, I could definitely see him running a bar / cafe as well had he gone that route. But he did sort of get shoved into the Starfleet lifestyle as a result of his lineage.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that like these people aren't perfect, okay? They're not,
no.
They're not superhuman. They're still humans. They just have removed the need to have the biggest house on the block, to have the fastest car, to have the fanciest clothes. They just remove that from the equation.
Right.
And then they can focus on being human beings.
And stop me if I'm wrong, but it is a level playing field. Everybody has opportunities.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's true equity. And because there's true equity, there's true equality. And
yes.
It doesn't matter if you're black, white, gay, Hispanic, transgender, doesn't matter. It's a level playing field for everyone. And so there's true diversity. And that's the kind of world I want to live in.
Absolutely. Yeah, me too. That is the true utopia, I think, of the Star Trek vision right there. Not just the so-called removal of money, but no, that, where everybody has a chance to live their best life. That's amazing.
And that's the thing, is that if you don't like Federation society, if you're a human and you don't like how humanity is run, it is so easy to leave.
Yes.
And do your own thing.
Go be a Klingon exchange program participant or something. There's so many other opportunities out there for you. You will find your calling. You will find your place where you fit in. Because how can you not? The whole galaxy is your oyster here.
Exactly. And I'm not trying to talk about this whole love it or leave it mentality. It's just very much you have options. You have hundreds of worlds within the Federation itself to go to, and you could even go outside of the Federation if you wanted to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're not limited just to Earth. You can go to any amount of worlds. You don't necessarily have to serve on a starship to be in space.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of different avenues you can go to. So I'm dying to know now, what sort of things would you want to pursue for a so-called career path in the 24th century?
Well, you can tell that there's a lot of crap jobs in the 24th century that people have to do.
Cleaning plasma conduits comes to mind.
Yeah, stuff like that. And we found out that in the Homecoming novels, the Star Trek Voyager Homecoming novels, we found out that they have holographic technicians do a lot of that work.
Oh, right. That was also portrayed in the show.
Right. Like dilithium mines or something like that. They have holographic people.
Yes, doing the dirty work.
It makes sense. It absolutely 100% makes sense. Why wouldn't you do that? And like in this novel, I remember the holographic technicians, like there was a holographic technician who would beam people in and out, which kind of makes you wonder, like, if their sole job was to beam people in and out, couldn't you just integrate the computer to do that? Like isn't that essentially what you're doing?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're not having to basically work on employment quotas here, right? So that person is doing it because that's what they really want to do. It doesn't necessarily seem to fit that paradigm, but I don't know. Am I too quick to judge?
I don't know. But regardless, like there's a lot of those jobs that I think that are done by automation or holograms or anything like that. So if I wanted to do the fun, I don't think I would be on a starship. I'm not smart enough.
I beg to differ, but okay.
Oh, well, thank you. Maybe by the 24th century, if I had 24th century education, maybe I would be smart enough, but...
That's just it. And these kids learn freaking trigonometry before they're 10. So they're
advanced. As we learned in TNG, it was either trig or calculus. I can't remember one of the
two.
Yeah.
Advanced math. Way above my pay grade here. Yeah.
And so... I keep asking myself, I was like, as much as I love Star Trek and I love starships and the Federation and everything like that, I think the closest that I come up with two things. The closest that I would come to working in Starfleet would be at Utopia Planitia.
Uh-huh.
I would love to be involved with ship design and being a part of a project like that, where like from beginning to end, where you help design the ship and then you make it happen, you have your mission patch where it's like the galaxy class project, you know, like you work on that for years and years, and then once that's done, you move on to the next ship. I love the idea of doing that, but more realistically with Tristan Riddell, and my personality just translated to the 24th century, I believe that I would create Hollow novels.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
I would create, like, I think I pitched this a long time ago, where I would create holographic shows where I would develop holographic theater where you could go and you could sit in an auditorium. It would be like Tsunkatsi, where you would go into an auditorium. Yeah, and on the stage, it's you have one real location where you have the actors, and you could have any set that you want. The possibilities are endless. You could have people riding a horse on stage at full speed, but it stays in one place. You could do all of these things with like photorealistic events, but you have the real actors in one location, like say Chicago, but they transmit the data to other auditoriums all over the world, maybe even all over the Federation. And right. So you get this real sense of live theater, even though you don't have to live in Chicago in order to watch it. You still get that sense of live theater because you could go out and touch them if you wanted to. They wouldn't really be there, but it's still, you know that it's happening live somewhere. It's kind of like the thrill of live TV, but pushed to the infinite power.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
That's what I think I would do.
That would be so exciting, wouldn't it? I would definitely go to shows like that for sure. It'd be great.
I know,
it'd be
right?
So much fun. And you could get it through space pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's space pay-per-view is what it is. Yeah, it's 24th century pay-per-view is what it is.
Yes. Good times. So the things that I would do here, okay, it, my so-called ideal self, if I could just be anybody doing anything, maybe I really would go for Starfleet. You have to be the best and the brightest. I mean, how many times is that stressed where you've got to be a walking, talking, overprepared genius to even make it into the academy? That's clearly not me. But if I were raised in the 24th century, maybe I have a fighting chance in hell. I don't know. But it's my fantasy, and I'm going to think that maybe I could actually be a Starfleet officer serving aboard a ship. Doing what? That's a really tough question, because me growing up in the 24th century with the capacity to actually do it, maybe I would be a scientist. That's maybe where I would see myself going, because I love science. I love learning about science. I myself am not a scientist. I do not have that knowledge or training, and frankly, I don't think I have the capacity to do so, because you basically have to be a PhD level to do that really awesome, groundbreaking research that I love reading about. I mean, I love to find out what they learned from all these things, but actually conducting it, no, not happening to me. But if I were in the 24th century, maybe, just maybe, I could work on that. That would be cool. Now, realistically, with realistic boundaries, I think I would still have a very cool job in the 24th century, and that would be probably to be a Guinan-type character somewhere, running my own 10 forward aboard a starship, perhaps, maybe working on a station, maybe depending on where. I kind of want to be someplace exciting, but not in constant danger all the time. So, you know, I kind of want to play it a little safe. Or I maybe want to run a coffee shop close to Starfleet Academy and live in the hustle and bustle of all the young recruits and hear about the crazy things going on in their lives. I'll be their shoulder to cry on as they go through the rigors of the academy, and I will give them their Vulcan mocha and make life better.
Now, would you have the big saucer hat?
If I were the bartender, absolutely. I would have to, right?
Now, with the... I really didn't expect that. I did not expect that answer from you about
running
your
own. What did you think I was
own.
Going to say?
I thought you were going to say Hollow novel like me.
Oh, well, maybe, but I don't know. There's something also that's very freeing about where if monetarily I don't have to work. It's just kind of fun to get to know people and hear their stories. And being in a lounge like that is the ideal place. You get to hear about all the drama going down on the ship, but you don't have to actively be a part of it.
Yeah.
And that is really up my alley, for sure. I love to know what's going on, but I don't necessarily want to be in the trenches because, man, that's a bunch of noise. You know how I am about drama, man. It's just like, after a while, nope, I'm done. Get me out of here.
Now, what kind of science would you do? Because you said it kind of generally. You said you'd wanted to be a scientist. But what kind of science would you think you have a proclivity for?
That's a very good question. I don't know if I have an answer, to be quite honest. The 21st century Char, I love, of course, things like space exploration and things that are way over my head, like astrophysics and things of that nature. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I should amend this. Maybe I'd be working in stellar cartography and doing things like charting the nebulae and cataloging the gaseous anomalies and yada, 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 and enjoying the wonders of all this incredible stuff that is at our disposal in the 24th century.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that would be it.
Okay. Yeah. If I kind of feel the same way that you do about science, where I want to be able to say I'm a man of science. I think that just sounds so cool, but I don't have the right to say that because I love science. I appreciate science, and I believe that science is our future. It's our past, our present, and our future. But I believe that we will be a society that embraces science more and more and more as we evolve. And I was not exposed to the right stuff as a kid. I just, even though I love science and I'm a huge supporter of science, I just don't have that knack for it.
Right. And, same here. I don't have the aptitude for it. When I was younger, I really wanted to be an astronaut. And then when I learned what I really had to do to make that happen, I was kind of had to take a step back and say, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that no matter how hard I work.
I had the same exact moment of realization too. It's like the glass just shattered. You know, it's like, oh, if I had 24th century education, I think you mentioned it before, but being an astrophysicist is pretty sexy right now. And so I think,
well, yeah, Neil deGrasse Tyson is about as sexy as it gets. Yeah.
I know, right? I know a lot of people don't like him, but even more people do like him. I'm one of those people. And I would love to be the TV personality who teaches young kids about science. I would love to
that
be
that.
That
would be pretty
person.
Cool. Although you strike me as maybe a little more of the Bill Nye type.
No, that is completely incorrect.
No?
I am much more Neil deGrasse Tyson than
Bill Nye. Bill Nye is amazing. I love Neil deGrasse Tyson, but I think I love Bill Nye even more.
Oh. No argument from here. I love and respect Bill Nye. I think he's fantastic, but that is definitely not my presentation.
You just
style.
Wouldn't be him?
No.
See, here's another facet of the 24th century that I think is fantastic is you have such a greater opportunity to not just focus on one thing, but to basically be a Renaissance man. You know, if you think about it, yes, they have their career paths. Yes, they have their jobs, but a lot of them have so many evolved high-end interests outside of it that they are immersed in several disciplines, and oftentimes they are very divergent from what they actually do for their so-called job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, with Tom being a pilot, he also loves holo novels. The Doctor, he's a doctor, he also wants to write holo novels. Neelix, for as much as he was a scrounger, he knows how to cook, sort of.
Yeah, like if there was ever a Renaissance man, it was definitely Neelix.
He was the ultimate of Renaissance level ambition. Let's put it that way.
There you go.
He had to be kind of the everyman versatile. I can do everything up to a point.
Yes.
He was a jack of all trades, master of none.
Even though this has been a short episode, we're just about 35 minutes. I think that's a good conversation. I think it gave us great insight into our own hopes and desires and wishes and what we'd like today, what we'd like in the future, and just how we want everybody to hug each other and sing Kumbaya. You know, I think that definitely happened today.
Right. And I want everybody out there listening to think about what they would possibly do in the 24th century as well as the 21st century. And I'm going to get all, you know, mushy out here and follow your dreams. Do what you really want to do with your life. Life is too short. Well, career paths are not the only thing that we're talking about on Trek FM this week. Here's a little rundown of what else is being talked about on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Orb.
What would have been awesome is if he had gone down, he found Bahala, he went in there, and there was an ancient Bajoran piano there. And somehow, it came to him in a vision. He remembered all of the most popular Bajoran songs from the time. And he started playing those on the piano and singing. It would have been awesome.
Saturday Morning Trek.
What I had to assure the fans when I talked at the convention or conventions was, this is not going to be a kiddie show. This is not going to be a baby show. We are doing Star Trek. And we were able to do Star Trek in some ways a better way, because we could have wonderful spaceships, we could have wonderful aliens, wonderful planets, and we still had good stories.
Stage 9, a podcast about the people who make Star Trek.
Every chance they have to get him off the bridge of that ship and have him running around on some planet or shooting some guy or jumping on something, they do. And it's like, he's got that chair there. It looks really comfortable. Let's have him sit in it for a while and command a starship.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We have new Trek Talk coming to you every single day. Usually it is even more than one show every single day, and it's all possible with the help of everybody who supports us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/trekfm. Check it out. If you're not already a monthly subscriber, please consider doing so if you like our content, because all the money that we receive from our subscribers gets funneled right back into this network to keep us going. So we appreciate everybody's support, but especially those of our associate producers of TTJ. And those cool people are Kenneth Tripp, Jamie Deuce, Bruce Lish, Dante Hopkins, Brian Belicio, and Kay Janeway. So thank you all very much for supporting us and the network. One more thing that you can do to support us is to write us a review on iTunes. And we do have a new review, so we have somebody to thank. This is Soul Diva, lots of L's in there, who wrote us a review and gave us 5 stars. So thank you so much. I especially appreciate the compliment about my Janeway impression. So thank you very much. And if you have not written us a review, please consider doing so. We love the feedback. We love giving you a shout out. And it helps us out with the rankings and our visibility on iTunes. So please consider doing that if you haven't already.
Now, hopefully by next week, we'll have even more reviews to talk about on this show. But you'll have to tune in next week to find out. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!